You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Shop Macy's VIP sale going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern-day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today back with me is Dr. Jonathan.
Thanks again for having me, and yeah, looking forward to going into Royal Road.
Yeah, just like you said, today's episode is all about the Royal Road. It is finished, but we have a lot to say about it. As a note, we're going to cover the tournament matches. We might have a note or two about non-tournament matches here and there, but don't expect a full review of them because the tournament just took up so much of our time. We didn't have time to watch a lot of other matches, really.
Yeah, it's five shows that we could have gone through each and every single one of them, but we would still be preparing for this show is the reality of it. I think, and I think too, like, this is a nice, easy, digestible tournament. We'll have more to say about that. But when you only watch the tournament matches, is it that?
True. But we have 5 days to cover. So let's just start off day one. All Asia Tag Team title match. Musashi and Sekio Shiga defeated Kurisho Tokyo Japan and Sego Tachibana in 15 minutes and 22 seconds. Hideki Suzuki and Hikaru Sato defeated Fuminori Abe and Hiroki Murasai in 7 minutes. Yuma Anzai, Ryzen Hayato, and Rena Yabe defeated David Boy Smith Jr., Kento Miyahara, and Ryu Inoue in 12 minutes and 6 seconds. Hokuto Omori, Cyrus, Jack Kennedy, and Kuma Arashi defeated Jun Sato, Rei Sato, Niruki Doi, and Senior Sato in 9 minutes and 16 seconds. To finish off that day, we have three Royal Road tournament matches. Joel Redman defeated Yuko Miyamoto in 9 minutes and 17 seconds. Dan Tamura defeated Shota Oshino in 13 minutes and 49 seconds. And in the main event, Riki Honda defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 19 minutes and 41 seconds. And to start off, just if you're unaware, Yuko Miyamoto is replacing Suwama while he's out with Vertigo. His match, I thought it was a nice little match. It was nothing too special. Miyamoto with the Suwama references were a nice touch. Redman looked good. I just wish he had a couple of tags before jumping straight into the tournament. He's been away for 5 years from All Japan, so it will be a nice refresher to see him again, to see him get over with the crowd a bit, just for us to familiarize again, because it's just like some people don't know who he is. I watched him in a couple of matches when I just started All Japan.
I feel like you could sum up his entire tournament like that. This guy had been around for 5 years and, or had not been around, I should say, for 5 years. I heard on the Eastern Lariat most recently, Dylan Fox was saying, well, who's, you know, no one's really particularly been crying out, clamoring for this guy's return to All Japan. I disagree. I actually was looking, I wouldn't quite say clamoring, but definitely hoping to see Redman back. And I found it a shame that he hadn't been back since the pandemic. And so this had been an opportunity, I thought, for him to demonstrate what he can do. And we'll get into his performance in just a little bit. But just as a sum up thought, yeah, I wasn't so impressed. I don't think I saw from him particularly much from that made me want to see him again. And it doesn't look like he's booked again for some time. So
he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah, he's basically gone.
England?
Back to England. And I mean, if he had just been booked for the tag league, I think that would have been a different thing. The thing with him is he is a tag team wrestler. He was one half of the first ever NXT tag team champions, along with, I always think of him as Pac. I can't remember the name that he wrestled under.
Not Neville.
Adrian Neville. But you get a badass like Pac and you call him Adrian. I don't know. My last boss and a pretty decent human being was named Adrian, but we'll skip past that. The fact here remains that I think, I just don't think that this was the best way to showcase him. Yuko Miyamoto, on the other hand, it was great to see him back. And it's good to see that he's kind of taken this one-off booking and will be in the tag league and has some more time in All Japan. I've always enjoyed him as a performer. And I think, am I mistaken? I think he might've started with All Japan back in the day. I think he trained with them. I'm not too sure on that one, but he has been kind of everywhere this year. And I think, he's someone I'm glad he's back. I do hope we get to see Redmond back at some point, but he's going to need to then demonstrate kind of, you know, why that is. And he did it in this match, which was a fine match. It was okay. Expect to hear that a lot this podcast. Yeah. I suspect a bit. It was okay. These guys were kind of put up against each other very quickly with clearly not as much time to prepare.
Yeah, I had the same problem with Lord Crew, because when he came in for the Champion Carnival, he had no like preview tag match or anything. He just had to jump straight into the Carnival. And for him, it was okay because the Carnival was longer than the Royal Road tournament. So he got more time to connect with the fans. And, you know, in the end, he just felt like, you know, just another guy like Cyrus or something who's been there for a while. And the fans started to really like him and want to see him back. Redmond didn't get that time. We only got 5 shows with him and then it was gone back to England.
In this case, yeah, like Lord Crew managed to play to that because kind of his first match with the company, he beats
Honda in like 3 minutes.
Was it 3 minutes? I thought 5, but it's even less than that, isn't it? And it's a big shock. It plays off the fact that you don't know who he is. You've never seen him before. The same with in Noah when they first had Jack Morris compete against Kaito and beat him on the first night in a short match. Kind of, we didn't really get that here. There was no kind of playing to the fact that we're perhaps less familiar with Joel, but that was what it was. And I think it kind of goes to part of the theme of this tournament, which is that this was okay. This was good. Not particularly great. There was some great stuff, but we'll get to that.
And just one last point. I do really like Miyamoto, like no shade team or whatever, but I think they needed Suwama for this match just to help Redmond get back with the fans.
Right.
Suwama's great with connecting with the fans and stuff.
And it would have been a huge impact. I'm assuming here they followed the same kind of formula for the booking, and I'm assuming that they just kind of stuck with, you know, Redmond would have defeated Suwama.
Yeah.
Really have any clear kind of, I guess, evidence otherwise. I mean, unless one of the All Japan bookers listens to your show, as they should, and lets us know, then, you know, that would be great.
Unfortunately, I don't think they should. Well, they listen, because I would have some opinions for them.
Oh, they could, like, we could always have a segment at, you know, where we just dump all the ideas in. Just like, if you listen to no other part of the show, kind of, instead of like Russia, if you're listening, this would be All Japan's booking committee, if you're listening.
Moving on to the next tournament match, the Dan versus the Shino. I thought this was really good. I feel like Dan has been kind of merging into a junior Ishino, kind of mixed with Suwama for a while now, and it's just perfect for him. The match showed Dan is really the king of comebacks. Getting beat down to almost the point of no return only to fight his way back up is his specialty, really. It was like a show of anything you can do, I can do better. Basically, you can suplex, I can suplex. You can do this, I can do this. They had a handshake after the match, which Ishino put into a hug, which was sweet. And it's not going to be the last time we see these two together, but we'll go over that later in the podcast.
Yeah, this is fucking great. This one was the first highlight, I think, of the tournament.
Definitely.
I think, like, Dan, I feel like he kind of hasn't really, I feel like he hasn't ever really had his due. That's not necessarily the case because he's had, you know, he had the All Asia Tag Team title win in the Budokan. He had the junior title run last year into this year, which was very underrated and I thought was a great little title run. And he's had moments where he's been allowed to shine, but by and large, his contemporaries and the people who have come after him, the younger guys, have been booked to bypass him. And when you put him in situations with the right kind of opponent and the right elements to them like this, I think he can show that he's a very strong worker. And I think this was great. And there was just kind of a simplicity and a brevity to this. Like, it wasn't especially long, but it did everything it needed to do in less than 15 minutes, which was great. I think I would have loved to see Dan maybe go on to some involvement with regards to the we know one plan that they have for him, but I'd love to see him in the mix with the Garo title. I think if you kind of put him back to that. He had that great match that I saw at Kurikan against, as far as Sego Tachibana's run, that was a great title run. I thought Dan was going to win based off that. I think he should get back to that title picture after this. But yeah, this match was awesome.
Yeah, just a note on the Goro title. It's just been going back and forth between Fumino Abe and Sega Tachibana. Like, they're gonna have another rematch next month. It's just too much, really. Like, get Dan involved, get some other people involved, because Dan could have this belt and just it would just elevate him so much. In the main event, Yuma entered this match as someone who has never made it past round one, and he ended the match as someone who's never made it past round one. Only this time, Honda danced over his lifeless body before being carried away by Hideki, Abe, Miyamoto, and Hikaru Sato. When I went to write a review for this match, all I could remember was Honda's dance. It was strange. It was beautiful at the same time. I give it a 10 out of 10 because I just love Honda. Anything he does is a 10 out of 10, really. This match, like we said, a lot of matches, it was fine. It delivered. It made Honda look good, which is really what mattered. Nothing too special, but I think coming after Dan versus Ishino, which was so great, I'm just like, oh, okay, this is just fine.
Yuma's been in this tournament for 8 years now and has yet to advance out of the first round, which I think is just one of the best running jokes. I love that part. I loved they stuck with it even though he's a champion. I hope that one day he advances out of the first round, wins his first match, and then loses in the second round. That like I think sometimes when you're on a good thing like this, you don't mess it up immediately. And like he's fantastic with these bits. So I love that. I loved Honda's dance as well. I don't know if Honda's just way too muscle bound to be a good dancer or what it was. But that was a performance art piece, if anything. It just went on for so long.
It
Like
really did.
with Yuma just lying there, which yeah, there's more to say about Yuma and his place in this tournament and this. This was a little microcosm of that, but by itself, this was fine. By itself, him losing and then having the dance literally over him was good. That was fine.
Yeah. I kind of want Yuma to win, but I hope he doesn't. I hope he always loses in the first round. This is the second year he's entered the tournament as Triple Crown champion, and the second year he has lost, and the second year he lost to Honda in the first round. So is this going to be like a thing now? Every first round, Yuma faces Honda? Because I'd love it. And he just keeps losing.
I remember during one of the episodes of Talking Triple Crown, you made the point that, does it make sense that you have a favorite who you hope gets the shit kicked out of them because that's more? And I think that that was this match, right? Like that was because he's good at it and he's good at selling that. I thought this was tremendous.
Yeah, so sorry if you're like a new person and you go into this match and shocked that the Triple Crown champion loses, but it's a shock to nobody else. If you watch
It's
this company for a while, you know Yuma's gonna lose.
been the running gag for 8 years, so if you're shocked, you've got a little bit of catching up to do.
It's like 4 or 5 years in a row, Kento's lost the day one of Champion Carnival. It's a running thing now with him.
And I hope that doesn't change either. I think that was great.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the All Asia Tag Team title match?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was pretty good. I'm not always the biggest, and you've heard me talk about this before. Going back to the last episode I was on, I'm not the biggest fan of Kyoshiro, Tokyo, Japan. I'll just call him Jacket Man for the purpose of this. He has never been one of my favorites, and I find that the gimmick does work better in person, but it's still not my favorite and it's kind of overplayed. But him and, Sego Tachibana worked well together. I love this All Asia tag team title reign that I can't remember the tag team name that they're going with. If it's
Mu-chan and Sei-chan.
Muchan and Seichan, like, I love that. And I love that they've got their niche as this team and they're really making the belts seem really fucking important by what they're doing. It's been a great run. Yeah, this was a pretty good match though. Like these guys can work well together. All of them have, if I'm not mistaken, except with the exception of Musashi, I think all of these are guys that worked in Wrestle One back in the day. I don't know if Musashi did particularly any shots for Wrestle One, but they clearly know each other. They clearly worked well together. Very solid kind of match. And yeah, I'm loving this title reign. So anything from this title reign has been worth recommending?
I agree with the title reign. Like Musashi and Seiki Yoshioka has just been doing a great job. Like I think ever since, oh my God, I hate saying this, but Atsushi Onida lost the belt in February because he should never have the belt again. It's just been really, really good, the All Asia Tag Team title belts.
I'm a bit stunned when we look back on that was February of this year. Like yeah, that title reign felt like it started at some point at the beginning of Onita's career in the 1970s, and that's been with us forever. But yeah, I can't believe that's been this year. They've crammed a lot in this year, but that title reign I think will do a lot for reestablishing these belts as something that younger people can aspire to, something that younger people on the roster can compete for, that they can have the kind of the main event slot for the Saitos be the tag titles, and these be your kind of smaller guys vying for them and trying to overshadow that. Yeah, looking forward to what they do at Tag League. We'll have more to say about that too.
So we're going to move on to day two. Kyushu, Tokyo, Japan, Sega Tachibana and Shota Oshino defeating Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, and Rei Inoue in 10 minutes and 45 seconds. Dan Temra, Hideki Sakin, and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Hokuto Mori, Jack Kennedy, and Kuma Arashi in 10 minutes and 59 seconds. Davey Boy Smith Jr., Kara Sato, and Joel Redman defeated Rei Saito, Nuriki Doi, Senior Saito in 10 minutes and 11 seconds. Ren Ayabe and Ryuki Honda defeated Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato in 14 minutes and 12 seconds. And the two Royal Road tournament matches we had is Cyrus defeated Jun Sato in 10 minutes and 55 seconds. And in the main event, Kento Miyahara defeated Hideki Suzuki in 21 minutes and 42 seconds. So take it away, Jonathan.
So I want to highlight before we get to the tournament matches, I'll highlight just one match from the undercard for this one, which was the opener, which basically you had in this six-man tag, you had Kyoshiro Tokyo Japan, Sega Tachibana, and Shotaro Oshino, right? This is a great team on paper by itself, plus Jiro. And then you've got Musa again against Musashi, Yoshioka, and Rei Inoue. This was a great match. This is one that I recommend going out to check out. It's not especially long. It's less than 11 minutes. It's worth your time as far as these guys go. Like I said, all of them are guys I love except for Jiro. And even then, he wasn't bad in this. I just skip his entrances and it takes off a whole lot less time. As for the actual Royal Road tournament matches, I would like your opinion on them, but I thought these were pretty great. As far as one of the single nights of this tournament went, I thought the standards were very high here. And this is maybe my favorite match that Cyrus has had on this run with All Japan. As
Ooh.
far as that goes, I thought him and Jun Saito were perfectly matched. It had plenty of kind of brawling on the outside and points that I loved. And I thought that kind of he really earned this and they made him earn it in terms of the finishing stretches and everything. And yeah, I love this match. It was slightly under 11 minutes. Definitely everything felt action-packed. What did you think of it?
I really like Cyrus working with the Saito brothers, but I think coming up, there's another Cyrus versus Saito brother, which I liked more than this. Like, this was great, though. Just two guys just going at it, like, they don't care, just beating each other up. I do love that Hokuto Ami was there for Cyrus and Ray was there for his brother. And they were, like, looking like little kids, like, oh, my God, he's going up to the rope. Oh, my God, like, what's he doing now? Like, Kuma Arashi, watch him. It was adorable. But like the corner top rope spot with the choke slam and the superplex, just that was just so cool. Like, it's just a cool match just to see these two big guys just wrestle for 10 minutes and they just go all out.
All Japan as the kingdom of the dinosaurs for Japanese wrestling works really nicely, you know, to have kind of these guys that's what sticks out. And yeah, to see a pairing like this, you don't see this particularly in at least any of the major companies as well, as far as these kind of size guys.
Very, very true. I love that All Japan has it because you get like, oh, these flippy juniors, fast juniors, and this like, bring out Cyrus, bring out the Saito brothers. We just need two guys to run into each other for 10 minutes.
That, as the formula description rules, two guys run into each other for 10 minutes, but...
It's what it is. It really is. Ugh, the Kento Hideki match for me felt like two halves. The first half I did not like. It was submission after submission with some Kento headbutts thrown in because we always got to get Kento headbutts. The second half I absolutely loved. Hideki took the main senior role here, battering Kento with elbows. Whether he was on the ground or corner, it just did not matter. It was just raining elbows. What I did really like about this whole time is you could see Dan peeking through the curtains and the curtains were like pushed to one side. So you could really see him while the other person peeking through, I could not see, but like I was focused on Dan the whole time when I should have been more focused on this match, but it was good. The second half was really, really good. I liked how mean Suzuki was.
First up, I'll just respond to that last bit because when I was at the Champion Carnival earlier this year in Sendai, during the match between the Saitos, that was clearly causing interest backstage because you could hear this banging sound backstage and you could see the, without seeing exactly who was peeking their head through, you could see the curtain kind of waving. So clearly people were crowding around to try to get a peek as to what was happening during that match. It was causing interest. So I buzzed Hartley Jackson about that. I just asked, were people watching that backstage? He's like, yeah, we were. So that happens in this company. And clearly they're watching one another's stuff, which is really, really good to see first up. In terms of this one, I wouldn't blame them. This was fucking great. I liked all of it. Your review was kind of like, oh, you know, we the first half was just kind of submission after submission after submission with some Kento headbutts because we have to have them. Whereas my review is, this was fucking great. We had submission after submission after submission and we had some Kento headbutts. So it was, I thought Hideki was great in the role of sort of the opponent that beats down Kento before Kento gets his stuff in. And the shots to the abdomen being what he sort of based a lot of his offense off worked really well. I think he... like Kento's selling was fantastic. I was just saying, I do hope to see this rematch at some point, hopefully with Kento as champion and Hideki as a challenger. I'd love to see Hideki get more shots at the Triple Crown. I know he's had them before.
My problem with Hideki is that like I'm very 50-50 on him. I can either take him or leave him. Sometimes he just really pisses me off in the ring. Like, just get some enthusiasm like for your opponent, please. But then other times he's great. Like, look at his matches with Anzai. They're perfect. This one, yeah, I just, yeah.
It might be the dynamic. It could be just how you like to see wrestling. He took some getting used to as well. His stuff is very much, it's long form matches. It's a lot of him dominating his opponent with grappling and forcing them to earn it, which at first I found grating, but eventually after a couple of his matches, grew on me a whole lot. Yeah, he's also just hilarious and one of the most unserious people on the planet. So.
But he's out in round one.
Yeah, which was funny because I remember watching it and going, yay, Kanto won and that was great. And fuck, Hideki's gone. Like, again, I didn't expect any different here, and I don't think it should have gone any differently.
True.
But part of me wondered if perhaps they could have reserved this for the second round of the tournament to have Hideki get more of a showing. But them's a breaks, sometimes you have to have these big, and that's what they did. If you look at the first few results from this tournament, the first round has a lot of big time eliminations that happened as soon as sort of you got to the start there, as far as Dan takes out Ashino, and you see Honda defeat the Triple Crown champion. That's going to result, by the way, later on. You have to think that's going to result in another Triple Crown title match between them. I'd meant to say that earlier. Maybe edit this so I sound smarter in retrospect.
I'm not that good at editing. Don't worry,
I'm
we can just say
not
whatever
good at
we
sounding
want.
smart in retrospect, so that's okay. But no, that was a great main event. I hope to see these guys again.
Moving on to day three. Cyrus, Dan Tamura, and Rhea Inoue defeat Kurusho, Tokyo, Japan, Sega Tachibana, and The Bodyguard in 10 minutes and 25 seconds. Kento Miyahara, Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, and Shota Ishino defeated Fumanori Abe, Hideki Suzuki, Joel Redman, and Yume Aoyagi in 14 minutes and 13 seconds. Riki Honda and Rising Hayato defeated Jun Sato and Senior Sato in 13 minutes and 55 seconds. In the junior heavyweight title match, Naruki Doi defeated Hikaru Sato in 13 minutes and 55 seconds. And we've got three road tournament matches. Rei Saito defeated Kuma Arashi in 13 minutes and 9 seconds. Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Hokuto Omari in 10 minutes and 45 seconds. And in the main event, Reno Yabe defeated Yuma Anzai in 20 minutes and 24 seconds. So I'm going to get this out of the way, the junior title match. Doi defeated Hikaru Sato, and unfortunately, this was more centered around a knit dress than it was wrestling. Doi came to the ring in a version of Sato's knit dress, but this time in red. It was actually pretty funny when he walked out because I did not expect it, and the crowd were like losing it. And Saito's reaction was just great. Like, what is he doing? Like, how dare he? His hands were literally like on his head. He was freaking out. But it went down from there. There was a point when Saito went under the ring. He came out the other side wearing his gray dress, and like he had underwear in his mouth, and just that just grossed me out. I'm just like, no, I can't watch this anymore. Like, he took off his underwear and put the underwear he had on his mouth on. It's just these two could have had a great match. They're fantastic wrestlers, but this was just all about a dress. The best part of this match was when Dan came out to challenge, and it should have been something that happened in the match.
Normally, when we say that a match is for the sickos, it's an endorsement. No, this is a match for the other sickos.
It wasn't great. I should have watched the other title match. But let's talk about the tournament matches. And I thought Anzai getting Rei out for the gimlet was impressive, but nothing compared to Kuma Arashi getting Rei out for a torture rack and then squatting with Rei on his shoulders. Not to mention the scoop slam. Rei just looks so cool as hell here. I just really like this match. I would like to see them run it back, not in a tournament format, just to go all at it. And my problem with this show is the crowd. I think this venue was so big and like the crowd noise was lost. It was just like going out of the venue,
It
then
was a
right.
strange environment, wasn't it? I think I don't know if it's kind of the whole it being in Osaka, or if it's a kind of like an issue with the venue they chose, but the dynamics were off.
Definitely.
The moment you mentioned where you saw Kuma Arashi put Rei on his shoulders, right, and do that, he kind of does the squat. What was cool about that is Rei starts to squeeze his head, kind of a really old school kind of move, and so Kuma, it was a battle between who's stronger here, and Kuma just won out enough to hit that variation of the Samoan drop, which was just freaking great as a moment. I want to see more moments like that between these guys.
Yeah, I like that Kuma's working more in the company now. I think he's getting a title match soon with the Saito brothers. That's going to be freaking awesome. I'm so excited for that. I'm pretty sure like the Saito is going to win because the next champions are going to be like the 100th champions. They have to be like someone impressive, hopefully within the company still. But
it has to be X and XX. That team. Yeah, that team's amazing.
Just Ray powerbombing Arashi and they're just strolling to the pin. Like,
oh,
it was just like
bounce off that too. The way that Kuma bounces off the mat from that power bomb, yeah, that blew me away.
Just run this match back again and again with a better crowd.
I mean, this in Kuriken, imagine the reaction to that finish.
Oh, that would have been losing their minds. But in the next tournament match, I thought Omori did a pretty good job showing fighting spirit against Davey Boy. I don't really have much to say here. Davey Boy was my pick to win. Obviously, he didn't get very far, but he made it past round one. So that's a point for me, I guess.
Yeah, I really like this match. I loved it because I felt like the dynamics were kind of different. You know, normally you'd see the crowd kind of... Hokuto Omori is interesting because he's a heel, right? Like, you don't really have the same rigid heel face dynamic, but the crowd were behind him for this one. And yet he's not the kind of heel who will dominate the face. He's going to be sneaky. He's going to be underhanded. He's not the same size as him. But then they didn't play to that necessarily. And I quite like this one. I thought this was a good match. It's not a spectacular end of year. It's not going to be remembered or particularly winning any awards or anything like that. But there's a subtlety to some of the moves that Davey Boy Smith does. I particularly enjoyed. He did a suplex where he kind of jumps as he delivers it. It's the same suplex that his uncle Bret Hart used to deliver all the time. And I love seeing those moves come out. He does a lot of his uncle's moves and a lot of his father's moves and some moves from his other uncle, the Dynamite Kid. So just, yeah, seeing those put into place was great. And not match of the year or anything, but this was a good match.
For the main event, basically, Alpida versus Alpida, Ren versus Anzai, I thought it was very, very fun. We saw more of a meaner and more ruthless side to Ren here, and I really liked it. I feel like he's still trying to figure out how to mold his body into the wrestling style he wants. There's still a little bit of awkwardness, but like we love it. It's like part of him. He'll get over it, but for now, it's pretty cool. He now is more expressive, yelling out to the crowd and getting them fired up and stuff. So that's really nice to see him evolve in that way. Anzai, on the other hand, just lost a triple crown and now like he's on the path to get it back. He's clawing his way up from the bottom. His path is very short in this tournament, unfortunately for him, ending the same way as the other Yuma. So maybe it's a Yuma curse. Maybe no Yumas can get past round one.
I'd love this match. I thought that these two just work so well together. And there's just an interesting dynamic there because, I mean, technically, Yuma Anzai has actually been wrestling for years less than Rene Abe has. Like, Rene Abe got his start. You know, to put that in perspective, Rene Abe was meant to be on that card when they had the anniversary show in 2022.
Then he had a collapsed lung.
And that's something, by the way, tall men can just have happen. Like, it just happens. There's no, like, rhyme or reason to it. A friend of mine had his lung collapse for no real reason and had to go to hospital. But
scary.
It is. He was very lucky to be able to manage to make his way back and that we can continue to see him. But he was meant to be on that card, and that was the card that Anzai debuted on against Yuji Nagata. So that hasn't been all that long, really. That's 2 years. And certainly you could be mistaken or forgiven for having forgotten that that took place 2 years ago, because there was no big deal about their anniversary made this month, at least from what I saw. This match dynamics are interesting there. Anzai technically wrestling, yes, a lot less than Ayabe, but I would have thought it was the other way around just based on when Ayabe signed. So yeah, the dynamics were interesting. These two have good matches against each other. I think both have bright futures, obviously. And yeah, it's interesting what they're doing with Anzai as far as this storyline goes. I hope that they have a plan in place for when he gets back to the Triple Crown. But in the meantime, it's kind of watch his downfall, I guess.
It's very frustrating sometimes because you think, okay, this guy should be on top. He should be in the title match, but there's so many guys ahead of him. You kind of got to like cycle through it. Like I was waiting so long for Yuma Aoyagi to get back to the title picture. I'm like, okay, now we have to go through Jiro. He has to do this storyline with Jiro. They have to have a
Oh.
hardcore match. It's just like, okay, well, when is he going to get back to the Triple Crown? And he did, but we just have to wait. And I think this is going to happen with Anzai. We just have to wait.
I loved, by the way, on a slight side note, the hardcore match between Jiro and Yuma, because I'm not particularly a big fan of Jiro, but in that match, he really surprised me, the crazy ass bumps that he took. That one, it's one of the strangest matches I've seen all year, but I love that match.
It was different. There's parts of it I didn't like with like the headshots and stuff, but I didn't mind it. The ladder spot was crazy.
Yeah, that was insane.
Now we're gonna go into day four. Jin Saito, Musashi, Hideki Suzuki, and Shota Ishino defeated Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, Hikaru Sato, and Yuko Miyamoto in 9 minutes and 37 seconds. Kuma Anzai and Raizen Hayato defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Riya Inoue in 10 minutes and 36 seconds. We have four Royal Road tournament matches. Rei Saito defeated Cyrus in 10 minutes and 51 seconds. Rene Abe defeated David Boy Smith Jr. in 15 minutes and 57 seconds. Kenta Miyahara defeated Joel Redman in 14 minutes and 29 seconds. And in the main event, Riki Honda defeated Dan Tamura in 25 minutes and 23 seconds. And just before I hand it over, I'm just going to say this day had something that day two and three desperately needed, and it was a fired-up crowd because they were back in Shinkiba. And if you haven't seen an All Japan show in Shinkiba, make it like something on your to-do list because you need to do it. So you can start us off, Jonathan.
It's one of the few remaining arenas that I've never been to in Japan. And I absolutely have to get there at some point, right? Like during the pandemic, it was one of the only places that allowed cheering. And they had amazing shows then too. But for that, yeah, like you said, very fired up crowd. I enjoyed Ray Cyrus again. Sorry, Ray Cyrus, who I don't know who Ray Cyrus is. That's maybe if he switches factions. Actually,
Yeah,
now I want to see
the
that. Anyway.
Cyrus brothers instead of the Saito brothers.
Yes. Rei Saito against Cyrus was a good match, and we did get to see him avenge his brother's loss, and they continued that run. It was an impressive showing for the Saitos this tournament, but this match was quite good. Another big man versus big man match that had some, again, he had to earn it as far as winning, and he had to give Cyrus just about everything in order to win. I like this match a good deal.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess the brief for this match was just Rey and Cyrus go out there to beat the crap out of each other. I thought this was great. Just big man trying to hit the other one just back harder. What more could you really want? It's All Japan Wrestling, and I absolutely love it. Like I said before, both Saito brothers work really well with Cyrus, but I think Rey is slightly better because of his brawler wild style. It fits better more than Jun's, like, kind of more calm, technical, leg base. Offense. If you want to watch this match but don't have a subscription, you're in luck. All Japan's YouTube channel live streamed the first three matches of this show. This is up. Go watch it. You get the Shinkiba crowd. You get these two men just going crazy. It's worth your time.
I was just laughing because that's the best description I've heard of the difference between the Saito brothers. And yeah, definitely like that was a solid match as far as that went. I quite like the next one as well. What did you think of it?
I had to do a double take when David Boy Smith Jr. lost. I'm like, oh, like,
Yep.
wait, that's my pick. No, Ren, he won. Nothing against Ren, of course. Like, he's great, but I didn't think he would go as far as he did, and he went the furthest you can go. Like,
Spoilers.
David Boy did the smart thing, and it's what we saw Ishino doing in the carnival, and I can't remember anyone else doing it. It's cutting down Ayabe's legs. And he did that perfectly with all the submissions. I like the submissions here, not so much in the Hideki match, but this was good. Ren sold the leg okay. Selling isn't really a lot of All Japan wrestlers' strong points, see Kento versus Ishino, but it was okay. It didn't impact the match. I really like Dave Boy headbutting Ren in the chest so he can get him off the ropes. That was so unexpected and it
That
looked
was
so
awesome.
painful. I'm just like, okay. That was one of my favorite spots of the match.
I thought that Davey Boy was one of the ideal people to work with and kind of bring along Rene Abe. I think that would be a great role for him in this company. Now that he's signed and everything, I think that's where I'd like to see him, is kind of these matches, even kind of maybe with working a bit more. I don't know if he's done that yet. I wish during his title reign we'd got to see him against Yuma Anzai, and kind of him putting over Yuma in a big way would have helped. But then we'll still get to see that at some point again.
Yeah.
Like those two could do that again. They could do that in another tournament. But this was great for that kind of thing, and a very smart match. Yeah, and he put him over really, really nicely at the end.
It's like what I said with Smiley with our last review episode is Davey Boy was in the wrong block for the carnival. He should have been with the big guys. And I know Ray was in his block. Sorry, not Ray. Ren. I hate this. But like he works well with like big guys. And we can see this with Ren. It was so much better than the carnival match. He's just getting better and better working with these big guys and they're just meshing more. So I just wanted to see Davey Boy just go after the big guys, go after Cyrus next, you know, go after the Sato brothers again because they worked well together. Keep the big guys like in this little big guy circle, just like have a big guy tournament. So am I right in saying you didn't watch the main event?
No, I saw that. I thought I'd missed this. I actually had it. This has been quite a few, like a crazy week. No, I saw Kento versus Joel as well.
Oh, I forgot about that match.
Which that's all you need as far as your review goes. Look, Kento versus Joel a few years ago would have been an ideal match. They were tag team partners briefly, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I know that, of course, Joel was tag team partners for a hot minute there with Yoshi Tatsu. So therefore, this guy should be like the best wrestler in the world, right? Like only the elite get to work with the Yoshitatsu Kingdom. And no, in this case here, there was nothing world famous about this performance. It wasn't like the kind of greatness you'd expect from such a pairing. It's just a kind of bit, a little uninspired match. The part I did like was, you know, Joel's trying to be a sportsman, trying to shake Kento's hand. Kento's not having it. And so then Joel ends up basically pulling Kohei Wada in front of him, which is the biggest chicken shit heel move you could ever do, right? Like, that's terrible. And then poking Kento in the eyes right after that. That was amazing. I like that, right? It was an unexpected moment and that was cool and all, but the rest was just paint by numbers. And that's the one thing I don't think you can afford to be if you're trying to get yourself booked again in his company, because there are other wrestlers that aren't going to surpass you. And you can't really anticipate that you'll get booked again just because you were there regularly before 5 years ago. And yeah, I felt like if you have an average or so-so match with Kento, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, this match was basically like Redman wants a handshake. Kento doesn't want to give him a handshake. Like multiple times throughout the match, he went for a handshake and Wada was on his sign like, Kento, shake his hand, just shake his hand. But you know, he got his handshake and then obviously it was going to happen. Him pulling Wada in front of him, I thought it was like a good little moment because like Kento won't hit Wada, but Wada would hit Kento if it came down to it.
Wada used to regularly do that to Kento.
I was hoping it happened here because I miss it. Like, when's Wada going to, like, headlock Kento again? Come on, Wada. Like, I know you're old, but give us some more. But I have thoughts about Kento getting to the final four, but I'll save that to the final day. It was fine. I did like the flash finish. I kind of like that when it happens in matches. That, you know, we didn't get, like, a shutdown suplex. I think Joel went for a pin and Kento kind of, like, stopped his momentum and just, like, sat on him and, like, got the three count. Moving on to Dan versus Honda. they had met once before. This was all the way back in 2020 when Dan still had like the blonde mohawk and Honda was a fresh face rookie, like no red hair in sight. But I have to ask, like, why is that the only time they met? This was so fucking good. It was like my favorite match so far. Two guys in the new generation main event sold out Shinkiba. They went all out. On times fighting like they absolutely hated each other. And I love when the wrestlers do that. The elbows thrown between these two are crazy. They really tore the house down and deserved this one. You could easily have Kento main event or Ray main event, but they're like, nah, let's put these two guys, like 24 and 25 years of age, like they're so young and they're just doing this. It's just so good. And I just can't wait for more Dan versus Honda matches because they're just going to evolve and just get better. You can see Dan evolving all the time and Honda as well. I adored they had like a little moment at the end where Honda, you know, spoke to Dan. You couldn't hear it because he didn't have a microphone. I kind of like squeezed his hand. I just love little moments like that. Honda is like on his way to becoming one of my favorite wrestlers. Like he would never replace Yuma. No one's ever going to replace Yuma as number one, but he will get close. He works his goofy style and his serious stuff so easily. He loves his company and the fans love him back. Dan, on the other hand, is fantastic. Being able to see him like win the junior heavyweight title belt live is a moment I'll never forget. It was so special to me. I was like almost jumping out of my seat when he got the pin on Al Lindemann. People want him as a heavyweight, and I totally understand that, but I think it'll be cool to see him more of an open weight for a time. He could easily move between heavyweight and junior for a while. I do think the junior division still needs him for a bit. It's so small, and with Usky on the sidelines, they need all the help they can get. Of course, we have like a ton of fantastic freelancers to help boost the division, but I don't think it's Dan's time to leave yet.
It's also a very different kind of prospect to move into this heavyweight division. And when he does, there'll be big time matchups like this that he can step into. But yeah, the junior division, I feel like one of the people that they should sign is kind of as far as all of this, kind of ensuring that, you know, you already signed Musashi and that's a big boost. But I think if you're going to sign anyone else, you know, Musashi's tag partner, and then boost your division that way and try to kind of get, if you can get Seiki Yoshioka, I know he's working for other companies. He's obviously doing stuff with Great and stuff with regards to 01, but surely you can get him signed to All Japan and have him still appear in those other companies. But I think that's one extra guy that would help as far as this goes. And eventually then you can get the transition to happen, but it's not as simple as just now you go and fight heavyweights. It's a whole different thing. And yeah, moments like this that we'll get to have when it does eventually happen. Clearly they are thinking of the open weight route that you mentioned.
What did you think of the match?
Yeah, I think there are a couple that I liked in this tournament a little more, but it was still great. Like it's still one of the best ones. I'm trying to think here as to which one I liked better. I think I actually like Kento against Hideki a bit more than this. But a lot of people were praising this as their favorite from the tournament. So it has got a little bit of traction online. And that's the thing too, this tournament in general, while I don't necessarily feel like it was a great tournament, we'll have overall impressions soon, I'm sure. It still managed to feel like when I was watching these shows and looking online to see what people were saying, it didn't feel like it did even a few years ago when you had silence. You know what I mean? Where wrestling Twitter just went silent when an All Japan show was on and that many people were necessarily watching, I guess, in English speaking All Japan Twitter. So that was not the case here. A lot of people were commenting on this tournament throughout. So that was cool. And yeah, they were loving this match.
I think it does help with the venue. I know I said it before, but like Shinkiba just goes all out when All Japan's there. It was sold out, which is, it's Shinkiba. So you get under 400 seats, but you know, any sellout's a good sellout.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also a very convenient venue for them to run. It doesn't cost that much to run Shinkiba. They have the ring out there already as part of the venue. So when they use it, they don't have to make all that much in order to turn a profit on it. So, it's always good to see All Japan getting sellouts wherever they can.
They used to run Shinkiba a lot all the time, but It's just once in a blue moon now. So let's go to day five, which was the big day of the finals. We start off with two Royal Road Tournament final matches. Ryuki Honda defeated Kento Miyahara in 11 minutes and 16 seconds, and then Ren Yabe defeated Rei Saito in 11 minutes and 59 seconds. After that, Dan Temra, Kurishio Tokyo Japan, Rhea Inoue, Seigo Tachibana, and Shoto Ishino defeated Fumunori Abe, Hikaru Sato, Joel Redman, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka in 9 minutes and 19 seconds. Hokuto Omori, Cyrus, and Kuma Arashi defeated Jun Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senyo Saito in 8 minutes and 23 seconds. David Boy Smith Jr., Hideki Suzuki, and Suwama defeated Masakatsu Funaki, Yuma Anzai, and Yuma Aoyagi in 9 minutes and 32 seconds. And in the Royal Road Finals, Ren Yabe defeated Ryuki Honda in 24 minutes and 39 seconds. I'm going to start off with the first match of the day. It was Honda and Kento. They were fighting like it was actual final, and the crowd was going crazy for it like it was. I feel like the 11 minutes went past so fast, and it was a shame we didn't get more, but it's understandable because like Honda has to wrestle later the day, but run this back and give them more time. All Japan just love them so much, like the crowd. These two are it. They mesh so well.
This match, so there was a match a couple of years back, right? It was, I want to say, the start of 2021. So it was during the pandemic. Jake Lee, might have been the start of 2022, actually. Yeah, sorry, it was the start of 2022. Jake Lee got his orbital bone broken by accident in a match with Ryuki Honda. Honda then, of course, as you do when you break someone's orbital bone, you join their faction. So yeah. Honda joined the Total Eclipse team, and basically they had the tournament to crown the Triple Crown champion after that, and it was him against Kento in Kuroken Hall in the main event of that show. That was a phenomenal match that was forgotten and no one really seemed to praise. Just really brought Ryuki Honda along nicely. This one was just that turned up a notch and really kind of, it might have just been my headcanon that they played to the fact that the last time that they were there, Kento won, and this time Honda got the revenge. That was a big fucking deal. And to hear the crowd response to that was great. Yeah, the final event when he hit it, I thought, are we going to see a kick out? I mean, you know, Kento doing his usual thing of wait to the very, very last second, and then that last second did not come. Yeah, I love this match. I hope, like you say, run it back. Inevitably, at some point, you have to think that Kento gets another run with a triple crown, right? Like, his day follows night.
Yeah. And
when that happens, I want to see this as one of those matches.
Yeah, the thing is, in two Royal Roads, last year and this year, Ryuki Honda's defeated Kento. And unfortunately, because Kento has been the champion or near the championship at this time, like, Honda's got nothing from it. He can just say, oh, yeah, I've beaten Kento twice, but it's just like, okay, end.
I mean, it's still the ace of the company. It's still a pretty big deal, but yeah. I guess it's just they need to capitalize on that. They need to build something to come after that. And I mean, he also got a big win from the champion. So I suspect we're going somewhere. I'm not going to get too spoilerific just yet, though, but we're going somewhere with this, is what I'll say to that.
One of the problems I had with this was Kento just lost to Yuma in a Triple Crown match. So for him to be a contender just made me a bit confused. Seeing this match had me thinking, well, it's not going to be Kento. He's not winning the tournament. Honda already has a guaranteed title match, although I wouldn't mind if Honda won and Honda can win the tournament, and that's fine. But I thought, okay, the winner must be Ayabe or Rei. It didn't really take me out of the show because I still really enjoy these matches. But I kind of just wish it was like structured a bit different while Kento wasn't a contender in the end.
Yeah, agreed. I thought he might make it to the final, though. I thought maybe Kento would be the one to put over someone in the final. So it did still shock me, this result.
To the next semifinal match, I adored the beginning of Rei versus Ayabe. They were taking a moment to soak in the crowd. you couldn't really tell who the crowd were cheering for the most. It was kind of mixed into like just big one big noise. But it was just a really, really nice moment for them. But about the match, it was just really good. Just like Kento and Honda, I wish these had more time, hopefully in the future. Like, of course, these two are the new generation. We're going to get way more of them. I wasn't sure who would win, but I would have said Rey had the better chance. So I was a little surprised when Ayabe won. And with his new submission finisher, Iron Maiden, I thought it looked good, and so did he in this one. I just wish his drop kicks looked like it had a little more power behind it. I think they're okay, but they kind of look weak at times. I said he should watch Sawama when he does his like drop kicks because they are so good. And there's one where he hit Ishino with one, and it just lives in my head. I think it was a couple years ago. I have to find it, but it's so good. So Ayabe, watch Sawama when he does his drop kicks.
Yeah, and I mean these guys, it went on like literally a second below 12 minutes for this match, which I could have gone for more of this. I love this, but yeah, look, I love the Iron Maiden as the name and as the finish. I always like it when these guys bring out new moves and to kind of add to their arsenal. And he, Ren Ayabe, I think that's what I'd like to see more of. Him as well as working on, like you said, the drop kick. I'd like to see him kind of just display a few more moves, kind of show us a little bit of what he's been working on. And I like his other finisher really well as well. I like that. What do they call that now? It's the rolling,
Death Roulette.
the Death Roulette, which is a great name, but he's got great names for his finishes at least.
Yeah.
In this case, we saw Iron Maiden defeat Dokken, you know, as far as like him going over Ray Saito, but yeah, I kind of hope that we get to go and run this back at some point. I think we'll probably see two some kind of tag match between them and the Saitos at some point. Of course, more on the Saito's destiny soon, I think. But yeah, like you said, I definitely would have expected Ray to get to the main event and get to the tournament final. And same with Kento, normally you'd say that. So it's played against expectations as well.
So just before the main event, I should mention Suama is back. He returned at this show. Like I said, he was out for a while, suffering from vertigo. The fans gave him such a loud welcome, and you could tell he was hiding a smile. Like, it's good he's back, but please, if you have vertigo next time, Suama, just like take some time off straight away. Don't wait till it gets worse.
Yeah, I don't want him to fight through anything at this stage in his career. I want to get him at a point where he's healthy and happy with life. I don't, you know, he's been at this for 20 years and they've announced his upcoming 20th anniversary show. Do you want to talk about that now or is that, do you want
Oh,
to
we'll talk
wait?
about it like with the other upcoming
Of
shows.
course, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to see Swan back. The crowd gave him such a warm welcome. Like, I was smiling. It's like, Swan, like, you can smile. It's okay. Like, we're all happy you're back. Main event time. The main event was great. The way I saw it going was like Honda was like desperate to survive and not play second again. Shake the loss from last year while Ayabe just wanted to win. He had nothing hanging over him like Honda. They wrestled each other with so much intensity and passion. They had a bit of a feeling outstage, outside brawling, and then back in the ring where they were building up to a big finish. Honda just throwing lariats like crazy. Ayabe in his beautiful double arm suplexes. There were, of course, moments where Honda was in charge and on the attack, but I felt like it was more Ayabe in the end. He's become a bit more cocky. At one point, he was like lying down in the ring, hands behind his head, relaxing, while Honda was laid out on like Corican hall floor. He had the messing up hair tour, and now he has this one. Moving to Honda for a second, except for the semi-finals, and obvious like for obvious reasons, every time he had a tournament match, he was in the main event. And if the semi-finals were on a different day to the finals, I would bet good money that he and Kento would have main evented that. So, like, in other words, out of five tournament shows, Honda was the main event for three. But unfortunately for Honda, for the second year in a row, he ends the tournament in second place, run out for him again. He does have a guaranteed shot at the Triple Crown, but, you know, we gotta wait for Ayabe to take his turn before Honda can even say, oh, yeah, I'm challenging. One day he'll win, hopefully. It can't become a running gag. Like we said before, Yuma losing an opening round for 8 years. Is Honda running up, like second place, please, like, don't make it one. This year isn't over yet, but like, what a year for Ayabe. Many thought since Tsuji left, there was like no way Ayabe would be staying, but he did. He asked Kento to join All Japan. He was accepted. He beat Kento day one of the carnival, joined Alpida because he thought it looked like they were having fun, started a tag team with Honda, taught him how to share food, and now he won the Royal Road tournament.
Yeah, it's been a huge year for this guy. Like, I thought he was going to sign and he would be debuting in the usual traditional fashion. You know, he'd walk out with a tracksuit on, do a cute little promo to start off the year and the 2nd of January show. But with all of that turmoil and the way in which kind of his longtime tag team partner was leaving the company, you know, the way all that happened, he hadn't left yet at that point. You know, that was... Yeah, that was all surprising. That was a strange time of the year. I think we'll look back on that and wonder what the hell was that time of year exactly, right? It looks strange now. And yeah, from that to winning this, I love this fucking match. This was great. This match is very good. And I actually think it's one of those cases where I would personally say the tournament final was actually the best match of the entire tournament, which is important, you know? That's how it should be. In this case, my only match that I think came close to it was Kento versus Hideki Suzuki. Those guys made me, I knew who had won, right? I had that match spoiled for me. But those guys actually made me bite on some of the false finishes, even though I knew the result. So yeah, this one was great too, though, false finishes and such. And just the way in which kind of they managed to make Honda look good without having him go over yet was pretty good. That's a precarious balancing act. He's eventually going to have to, like you said, win something. Maybe champion carnival next year. Or maybe this tag tournament. But I think Honda needs a win that he can hang his hat on, because right now he's got the dancing. He's got character work. He's got that win over the champion, which was important. You know, he did beat the Triple Crown champion for this tournament that gets him the future title shot. So you have to think that obviously Yuma Aoyagi is not losing to Ren Ayabe. That's not happening.
No.
It's going to help him a lot to be in the match. It's going to be a great thing for Ren Ayabe to have a Triple Crown title match this fucking young. But it's not going to happen that he's becoming Triple Crown champion yet. And therefore, you know, having that challenge from Honda is going to be great too. But he runs the risk of kind of being like almost like Lex Luger, you know what I mean? Where he ends up being the perennial challenger, but never the champion. So, yeah, like I say, he needs something. He needs a big win at some point. But, you know, for the time being, that being the defense road for the rest of the year is pretty good. I'm sure they'll add one more on top of that.
Yeah, they have to have one on the 31st of December. So they'll have one next month. They have Tag League. And then, yeah, at the end of the year, they'll have another defense, which I hope it's Honda versus Yuma. The weird thing is, like, I didn't really think Ayabe would win because he had that number one contenders match with Yuma and he lost. So I thought, okay, well, he lost. He'll get a match for the Triple Crown, but I don't think it would happen this year. But it is. It's happening next month. So what did you think of Yuma in this tournament? Because I know you just want to talk about him.
So I said what I said about like the first night, you know, that being okay. It's a comedic moment. It's, you know, it's good. For the rest of the tournament, though, because he's out at the beginning, everything else that he did was a lower to mid card tag bout, right?
Yeah.
And I guess that happens, you know, the guy's out, but they didn't put the spotlight on him. Not once, really, during those matches. And then you got to this final night where once Ren Ayabe has won the Triple Crown title shot, having won the tournament, the champion comes out and they have their face-to-face and whatever, that happens, right? But then you have this comedic moment when Ren Ayabe musses up his hair and Yuma looks shit scared. And then Yuma does a comedic little run to the backstage, right?
Yeah.
As funny as that was, like, Yuma
is doing too much comedy for my liking. I'm finding it a little bit like, this guy is the champion. He needs to demonstrate that he's worthy as the champion. And I felt like they kind of made him look bad. And then on top of that, made him do too much humor. I feel like they made him look too bad in all of that deal. And I'm sure he'll win and I'm sure he'll defend the title, but I don't know. I'd like to see a bit more seriousness from him, a little bit more poise. And they could have gone from the comedy to transition in the same promo to a serious kind of standoff and kind of give it a little bit more importance, is just where I sit with all this. The guy is the champion and the linchpin of the company. So I think they need to be treating him as being important. So just from where I sit, this all became just that little bit too much as far as the ha-ha stuff. That's just my take.
No, I totally get it. Like, I wasn't too happy with the post-match promo with Yuma. Like, why are you running away? You literally defeated Ren twice this year. You're not going to lose to him. And, like, the messing up hair stuff, it annoys me. Because, like, don't be scared of that. You used to do that, Yuma. You used to mess up, especially Hokuto Mori's hair, all the time. Just get Ren back.
Exactly, right? Like, you could have had something from here. Like, anything.
Yeah. But Ren won. That's the tournament. Do you have, like, overall feelings, overall thoughts? Sum it all up.
Yeah, like we said, it was not a great tournament. It was a good one. But I think they redeemed themselves with the person who won this tournament. I think it demonstrated that it had a purpose. And I think that's what they're doing really well this year, is they're putting the young guys over. They're doing what we expect or hope the companies to do. So that was good. It wasn't a blowaway tournament. You had two great matches that I'd recommend checking out, with a couple that were pretty good on top of that. That's what I tend to think. What do you think? What's your kind of overall impression here?
I was actually really excited going to this tournament. And then, like, I watched day one. I was like, oh, okay. That was fine. There were good matches here. I think, like, you can cherry pick some, like Dan and Ishino, like Ricky versus Dan, Kento Hideki, the main event, obviously. Like, all Roro matches from day five, I think, is well worth a watch. I wish it was structured differently, I think. But we can't have that, obviously. Like, it was probably in place for months now. But I think the right person won. It was unexpected. You know, he's part of the new generation. They're still pushing that, which is great. He looks good. I just wish he had a bit more power behind his moves, Ren. And we'll see that in time.
Yeah, agreed.
We're going to talk about notes and Tag League now. The teams for Tag League have been announced, and this year they split into two blocks. In A block, we have Shota Ishino and Dan Tamura, Hokuto Mori and Kuma Arashi, Daisuke Sakamoto and Kengo Mashimo, Jun Saito and Rei Saito, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, Ryzen Hayato and Yuma Anzai, and X and XX. For B block, we have Yuma Oyagi and Fuminori Abe, Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto, Cyrus and Hartley Jackson, Kyushu Tokyo Japan and Sega Tachibana, Kenta Miyahara and Dave Boy Smith Jr., Ruki Honda and Ren Ayabe, and Suwama and Hideki Suzuki. What do you think of this tournament?
I really love this lineup. I was very happy when I saw this, because I mentioned to you before we started recording that this kind of time of the year, around December, sort of November, December, is when it's sometimes a bit of a dead zone in Japanese pro wrestling. So I don't have particularly high expectations, which for New Japan is good, because, you know, they live down to those expectations, but generally All Japan exceed my expectations for this tournament. So this one, I like the lineup. I loved seeing the announcement there of, I'm trying to remember what exactly they're calling the team of Sekimoto and Mashimo. I think it was like Team 2A BJW, which I think is a great name. But I was excited to see those guys announced for this one. Kengo Mashimo had a really great team that he was a part of a couple of years ago for the tag tournament. I'm trying to remember exactly who he was teaming with.
Wasn't it with Sakamoto? Kazuma, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It was Kazuma, yeah. And they were a great team together. And so then they kind of... didn't book those guys again for a little while, and I would have loved to have seen them get a bit of a run, you know. But yeah, I look forward to these guys, their involvement. Kengo's had some big matches in All Japan's history at points, so it's great whenever they do bring him back. But apart from that, I know you weren't especially enamored with the fact that they've got X and XX announced here.
After the end of last year, beginning of this year, I don't have much faith in All Japan when it comes to X and XX. Like, I trust them a little bit more because I think they're more focused on the company. Like, they haven't worked with like anybody outside of All Japan. It's just freelancers this year. But I just wish they announced it. Like, you know who they are. Just announce it. Like, don't make us wait. It's just so frustrating.
I personally love these types of gimmicks as far as kind of getting to see and getting to wait and kind of the anticipation behind that. Of course, if it's XX, we know who that is, right? That's confirmed that Katsuhiko Nakajima is returning to All Japan, XX style.
Don't say it.
The winner from last year's tournament making his way back. And of course, X has to be Satoshi Kojima, the biggest X. So that's your team. It's Kojima teaming for some reason. We don't know why, but with Katsuhiko Nakajima. That's what I fully expect, and we'll be disappointed if this doesn't happen.
I have one hope for who one of the X's are, and I'll get to that shortly because they're in another, well, they might be in another match. I'll go over. But one thing that really annoys me, or another thing, is like, where is the Junior Battle of Glory or Japan? Like, why are the juniors in this tournament and don't have their own tournament? They didn't run Junior Tag League, and now Junior Battle of Glory, like, it's really, really disappointing. The juniors have been such a bright spot in the past 2 years, and they've outperformed Tag League when they've had their own tournament. Like, do they not want, you know, the juniors to look better than the heavyweights? Like, what's going on? Like, why are they sharing with this with the heavyweights when the winner gets the world tag team title shots? Like, isn't that basically more of a heavyweight tag belt?
Like, they don't... It is, but they've been a bit flexible with it this year. You had at some point a title shot with Rising Hayato. You've had,
yeah.
Well, the other thing is that the All Asia tag champions are in the tournament, so people can pin them and can get title shots out of this. So it's kind of a vehicle for setting up future matches and showcasing that division as well. So I don't know, I don't mind them not doing the junior tournament at the same time, because I don't like having the condensed tournaments both running at the same time. I want them to do another junior tournament, and I want it to stand out on its own because they have a great junior division. They should showcase that. Certainly, probably my favorite one was Junior Battle of Glory in 2021, the year Akira won. And that one had them bring in Taikaiwa and a bunch of others, yeah. And they had a two-night tournament, and it was fucking great. And I just want them to do that again. They had a great kind of formula there, and the juniors can hold an entire tour, right? If they don't want to do an entire tour, at least do two nights, but give them the spotlight here. Don't make them share, is my opinion.
The thing is, like, we've seen them do a two-night tournament, so why couldn't they have a two-night tournament?
They have the space, surely. Do it in the last shows of this, maybe, if they have to.
Like, it's basically almost the end of September. The next show is on the 13th of October. Why couldn't they just do something in between then?
Again, this is the part we hope that they steal from us. This is the...
Yeah. Hey, listening bookers.
Yeah. Just need to book. Like, do two nights for your tournament. Your second night, you have your supporting matches. You could put a All-Asia Tag Team title match in the undercard, and you have your tournament final in the end. Put it at Shinkiba First Ring if you have to.
My problem with the juniors, like, another one, is, like, who thinks they're going to win this tournament, really? They're not going to win. Sorry to, like, Musashi and Yoshioka and Sato and Miyamoto, but, like, they're not going to win.
I mean, now that you've said that, you're going to see the surprise upset.
Musashi and Sekio Shirka are going to be double tag team champions.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. They would have three belts each, and that's happened one time at least before. It was the Untouchables, Misawa and Yoshinari Ogawa were like, they were the All Asia tag champs, and then they won the world titles. So they were walking around with three belts at one time, if I've got that correct, at least. So yeah, they could do it. I don't think they will. I don't think they're doing that for their 100th champions, and especially not against the imagery there of those guys up against the Saito brothers would be something else. But
well, they're facing Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato soon for the All Asia belt, so they could be non-champions going into this tournament.
That is true. That would be a great match too. I look forward to that one.
I remember I said to Smiley, like, okay, you know, the Hayato and Anzai team aren't going to go for the All Asia belts because, like, Anzai's too fancy now. He's been Triple Crown champion. And then next thing we see is, like, he's challenging for the All Asia belts. But who do you think will win? Or who do you think will get, you know, to the finals?
X and XX will be in the finals, and they'll be up against the kind of the team of... It's honestly so hard to predict with this tournament, which is, look, that's part of what I like about it. You know, I like the fact that I don't have the best read on this one and that there is a little bit of unpredictability. Do you have a favorite going in?
Shino and Dan.
Yeah, that is a great shout. Yeah. I mean, they did that last year. They did the whole, you know, a new team enters and find their footing by the end and win. So they could well do that again.
I was going to say, who was it? I remember. You have to tell me. I remember who it was.
Last year's winners?
No. I remember who that was. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to talk about Hokuto Mori's partner. It makes me sad.
See, I feel so torn because I love that period, right?
No, it was good. That. It was good.
And then it was followed by this kind of strange and all these people leaving. And who knows what the real story there was. Do you have any other predictions for who X and XX could be?
I was talking with Simone about it. And we both think X for Suwama's 20th anniversary, because Suwama is facing Hideki Suzuki and Tsuji Kondo will face Suwama and X. And I mean, that X has to be Ishikawa, doesn't it?
It has to be Shuji.
It has to be.
Yes.
So I think one of the X's might be Ishikawa. And like, who's Ishikawa hanging around now a lot? Our favorite, like, master of the Shah, Black Mansour Rey.
Yeah, shit. I'd be up for that. Like, those guys were big contributors behind the scenes for All Japan.
Yeah,
and
they were.
The situation has improved because Ishikawa is a current champion in All Japan. He's holding those six-man tag belts, having won them in an old, like the Evo Girl show. Mm-hmm. So he's yet to actually put foot in an All Japan ring proper, but come on, like, it's time, right? Time to have him back. He can split his time between All Japan and DDT and Noah if that's what he wants, if he wants to remain a freelancer, but I do want to see him back. And yeah, it would be awesome to see him back to this tournament. Mm-hmm. And that would be a big boost, I think, as well. Like, seeing those guys back in, it's an interesting dynamic, you know, like, do the fans want them back, or, you know, what's the crowd dynamic going to be?
I mean, I don't want to get, like, too wishful thinking here, but, like, if he was one of the exes, like, look who he's facing. Like, Ishino, Arashi, Sekimoto, the Saito brothers, Yuma Anzai. Like, it would be so good with, like, just those guys him facing. Like, we had a fantastic Ishikawa-Anzai match a couple of years ago, and, like, Anzai has grown so much. I would just like him to get his, you know, win back at least.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's also an opportunity there for them to kind of put a bunch of their younger guys against a veteran like that, who has so much experience. And did we run down as well B Block?
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think of this one? Some of these teams, like, just looking at it, What do you think of Kento and Davey Boy teaming together?
I thought if Davey Boy doesn't win for a tournament, he'll win Tag League tournament.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to win something in this company.
Yeah, he's on a contract until January at least.
So, like, he could win with Kento, then lose to the Saitos, you know, in, like, the New Year War tour. And then, like, okay, bye. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
In case he's going to win something this year, Kento always has to win something. And I just remember while saying this, he won Champion Carnival. So disregard what I said. I always forget he won this year.
Well, it was a crazy year. Yeah. He won that, and then they used that so he could put over Anzai, which was, look, interesting way of doing that, you know? And I think that that match, they have to run back at some point as well. But yeah, absolutely. Look, I at the very least, that team should at least be in the finals, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What if X and XX are the Motor City Machine Guns? Before they make their way to WWE or wherever else they're headed next.
I've never watched them, so I don't know.
Chris Sabin has a past in All Japan. He was there for 2005 or 2006, a couple of matches, and one of them was against Katsuhiko Nakajima for the junior heavyweight title, and it was awesome. So, again, I don't think this is necessarily going to happen, like, at all, but... That's been, I've called out for this on Twitter, into the void, and had no one else particularly like the idea, it seems. But while I'm on my own, I will continue to say I'd love to see the Motor City Machine Guns have like a short run in All Japan. But again, that's just me.
Like, the thing is, I'm thinking All Japan hasn't worked with outsiders this year, like compared to other years.
They had the one show. Yeah, there was the one show at the beginning of the year where everyone was doom and gloom about WWE had sent Charlie Murphy. Well, not Charlie Murphy. That's not his name. It's Dempsey. Murphy. Charlie Dempsey. Charlie Murphy's like the late guy that contributed so well to the Chappelle show back in the day. No, Charlie Dempsey. But yeah, Charlie Dempsey was fantastic at the start of the year anyway. If they're going to send anyone from NXT, it should be him. And yeah, outside of that NXT work, it's been smaller companies and bits and pieces. I don't know. I think it's good that they've managed to stand on their own so well.
Yeah.
And to build up. Ultimately, in the long term, that's what they need to do. More for my own dream matches, I'd like to see them work a little bit with Noah. But the real money is by standing on your own.
I like them to go back to what they were doing before, like work more with 2AW and BGW. Like, where's Aito Yoshida? He could be one of the X's.
He's someone that, frankly, All Japan should sign, and I sort of wish they had done so already.
I don't know. I just hope it doesn't make me sad when they announce who X and XX is.
Who would be the worst people they could bring out as X and XX?
The dads from New Japan, Nagata and Kojima. Back.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Okay. Unironically, Satoshi Kojima and Tenzan. Yeah, bring out those two. I would like that.
I had enough New Japan and working with All Japan last year. Like, it's just like, oh, All Japan and New Japan working together. Cool. Oh, New Japan won. Okay, they're working together again. Oh, New Japan won that match. It's just...
That's what All Japan did to New Japan back in the day in the early 1990s, though. Like, it was...
Well, learn from that. Be nice. Don't...
It's entirely fair for New Japan to do that. People are going to hate me for saying that. But the answer there is don't work with New Japan if you need to build up a new generation, if you need to build up new stars. It's not the state that they need to anyway. And the president said at the start of the year, look, in order to get those guys from New Japan, I was spending the amount of money that it would take to buy a new sports car every week.
That's ridiculous.
It was a lot of money. And so from a budgetary standpoint, they're holding back now. But yeah, I would love to see the New Japan dads in this tournament. At least they're treated with respect in All Japan. They're not in... their own promotion, unfortunately. They were great at Noah's show this year when they lost to the GHC tag champs. So those guys could come in and could lose, but Yeah, I don't think it's the good use. I think maybe that maybe Yoshitatsu and
oh no,
whoever.
Don't mention that name back in All Japan, please.
Oh yeah, Yoshitatsu and Joel Redman. They were a tag team years ago. Bring them back.
They were
as X and XX.
I hope Ranayabe win in the tournament. It's like a peace offering to Tsuji. It's like, look at your boy. Look what we're doing to your boy. Please come back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, see, we're doing what you'd want.
Yeah. Just fingers crossed it's him or somebody who fits.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a disappointment. I mean, we had an ex earlier in this year where it turned out to be Cyrus, for instance.
True.
And I love Cyrus, yeah. Right? It was great that Cyrus was back. But to me, that felt flat. That felt like they could have just announced Cyrus. Yeah. So, yeah.
And they did it with the Champion Carnival as well, when Ray's like, oh, I want to take part in the carnival. I'm not injured anymore. And then they had to announce like an extra person for Block A. And I think it was Davey Boy they announced.
That was very strange because they didn't do X and XX. They just went, oh, okay, we're expanding now.
Yeah. I don't think they expected Ray to be healed that quickly. So like, oh, no.
They underestimated Ray.
He's healing powers.
Yes.
But probably next episode, we'll know who X and XX is, and I can just rant about it. Unless they're good.
Then you can rant about how good it's going to be.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I'll be somewhat optimistic.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, it could be Yoshitatsu and what we've the return we've all been waiting for.
They thinking about the only person who signed who's not in the tournament is Inoue.
Okay.
And I don't know if that means anything, but and Fuchi, Inoue and Fuchi.
Well, there's your team right there. They're just trying to make sure Fuchi's up for it.
It's just a wait and see moment.
It is. And at a point when we've seen that go either way. It would be interesting. I guess, are we going to get the revelation during the tournament itself, or is it going to be more of like a they'll announce it just before the show kind of thing?
Like, they have to announce it before the press conference, don't they?
I imagine so, right? So
yeah. Well, it starts in November, so we still have a month to go. They still have the October show and then the Hokkaido tour. It will be announced by the Hokkaido tour, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. The Hokkaido tour last year was really, really good too. I really liked that one a whole lot as far as like a small tour that was jam-packed with a whole bunch of matches that I really love seeing.
Mm. Moving on from Tag League, I just got a couple more matches to go over for October. All Japan's two new rookies will make their debut. Sakuto Terada and Tashi Nagano will face Dan Tamura and Rei Inoue in their first match. As we said, there'll be a special match celebrating Suwama's 20th anniversary. Hideki Suzuki and Tsuji Kondo will face Suwama and X. And the Royal Road winner, Ayabe, will get his title shot on the same day, which is the 22nd, against Yuma Aoyagi. So we have those three matches to look forward to.
Yeah, this looks like a pretty packed show. I think you've got a few things to look forward to here, and it's going to be interesting to see how far along the rookies are as far as Terada and Nagano. They were signed very early this year, weren't they? I think it was February or thereabouts they announced them. So, yeah, be interesting to see. I think interesting to see them against Dan and Rio anyway, as far as kind of how far along they have, what they can show.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's always exciting to see new rookies and see how they do. Like I was saying in the Yuma Anzai bonus episode, like Yuma Aoyagi just does some magic in that dojo. He just has the magic touch when it comes to rookies. Like, look at who he trained. Like, look at Inoue. Look at Anzai. Look at the Saitos. Like, they're fantastic. So
it occurs to me
any less.
It occurs to me just that during the tournament, how do you have these guys who are 2 years into their careers? Not like they've been doing this for 6 years and just cracking it now. 2 fucking years and they're this far along. Like, there must be something to their dojo that the other dojos just do not have.
But I'm happy for it.
Yes, exactly. Whatever it is, it's working.
Okay. So, Jonathan, who was your wrestler of the month?
Oh, geez. I find these to be very tough, but I'm going to have to go, I think, here with the winner of the tournament. I think Ren has showed what he can do, and I think he's had his best matches so far in that tournament and leading up to it. It was one that if you had told me before this tournament, Ren Ayabe is winning, I would have thought that's maybe a bit too soon.
Mm.
But he's really showed something this little while. I've been impressed enough. I'm going to go with him. But what do you think?
He's my second place. My first place is Ricky Honda.
Yeah.
I'm just on a Honda kick these past couple months.
Yep.
I just think he's been fantastic. And main eventing 3 shows out of 5, no one can deny how good he's been. So match of the month, I think everyone knows I'm going to pick Honda versus Dan. I thought the finals were good, but just Honda and Jan just was so, so fantastic. What about you? What was your match?
It's always going to be a push between the final and Hideki Suzuki against Kento. And I'm going to go with the final because of what it meant, as well as how good a match that was. And I wasn't expecting it to be that good between them. The structure for this was great. They've kind of got that All Japan main event structure down pat. And there was just a moment there where they exchanged suplexes. That kind of almost King's Road suplex exchange they love in their main events. And I was not expecting between these two guys that they would have me jumping out of my seat they did when that took place, but they fucking did. And just, yeah, this one had a couple of moments like that where they had false finishes. And yeah, when they finally got to the finish, it made sense as to who went over. So I think they did their best with this tournament and that match particularly. Yeah, that stands out as my favorite for this month.
Yeah, the finals always deliver. You can't deny the finals are crap in any tournament, really. But yeah, just something about Dan versus Honda. Maybe it's them being back in Shinkiba did it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we've now come to an end of another episode of Jumping Knee Pod. Thank you all for listening and for your support. It really does mean a lot. You can find me on Twitter at Sister Jessie and Raw Road 72.
And you can find me at Jonathan Foy, my name on Twitter, where you can find me calling into the void for the Motor City Machine Guns to come to All Japan with no response, as well as that, my books, The Ganbaru, How All Japan Survived the Year 2000 Roster Split, and The Muto Years, looking at Keiji Muto's time running All Japan, are both available on Amazon. Currently working on two other books at the moment, one about Pro Wrestling Noah and the other about All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling. So hope to have more to say about those in future as well.
Yeah, and we'll have links in the description. Go buy them because they're great. And Jonathan deserves, all the love and support for them because it's hard to write a book. And he's easily third.
Yeah, it turns out it's hard. I found that out recently.
No, but you're such a wealth of knowledge and stuff about All Japan. I love having you on, and thank you so much for coming back
and thanks
talking
for
about this tournament.
Thanks for having me on, and it's always so fun to go through this with you as far as this goes, and just great to see you have the show and continue to roll this one out.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you all once again. I have been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Countout Podcast. Countout provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the Countout Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the Countout Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout.